Hey friends, if you know me, you likely know that I have a sweet spot in my heart for veterans. My father has a Purple Heart and the scars to show for it. Just recently, I learned that a common side effect of PTSD is hoarding. And those of us with aging parents have seen how quickly a lifetime of memories and keepsakes get stacked in boxes and closets, causing more and more clutter and stress over time. My friends at Floor to Ceiling Home Healing are helping hundreds of folks, veterans included, in residential and commercial settings with decluttering, packing, organizing, itemized liquidations, and even biohazard and hoarding cleanup. They are offering a 20% off discount to our listeners here at Shockin' Y'all. So you can learn more by calling 424-272-8892 or visit their website, www.fchhspaces.com. You can also text Nicole 20, your full name, your phone number, and email to that same phone number, 424-272-8892. You'll receive a 20% off discount just because you're a Shockin' Y'all listener. My friends, we are not meant to do it all alone. The team at FCHH is here to help. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Shock and Y'all, a podcast about our mental and physical fitness, spirituality, and your big, bold life. I'm your host, Nicole Shaka, and I am so grateful you're here. I train bodies for a living, but I'm even more interested in harnessing the mind and elevating your spirit. Every week, I'm speaking with exceptional humans or experts in their field, or folks who genuinely have a unique and valuable insight we can all benefit from. So get cozy, or lace up your shoes, or keep your eyes on the road. And let's drop right in. Hi, hi, hi. Welcome back to Shock and Y'all. I am speaking with Dr. Kate Jones today. This is a spicy conversation between two very passionate internet wives, self-declared. We are talking about not only her expertise in chiropractics and somatics and energy work, but we touch upon burnout and how the nervous system is typically so overstimulated, remembering how the body reorganizes itself to follow the innate wisdom of our true nature. We talk about creating capacity for full integration for ourselves as a whole and embodying your central prayer. What does that mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? She is just the absolute best, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's dive right in. 5, 6, 7, 8. It's Dr. Kate. Oh, and it rhymed. I didn't even plan that. Okay. Let me please introduce Dr. Kate Jones. Dr. Kate is fierce. Her words are like a fire hose of passion, and she will captivate you instantly. Her heart is on full display when she coaches because it's been examined thoroughly. She takes her years of knowledge, observation, experience, and intuitive guidance with her in every interaction. Kate commands her body in the way only a lifelong dancer knows how, and yet she remains a portal for expression and truth, whether she is rolling on the floor or speaking into a mic. Her hands are skilled at healing, her speech is clever and hard-hitting, and her spirit is as wild as the air you breathe. And I love her!
It's like one of the nicest things anybody's ever said about me. I squealed it.
You know, she did. It was a little squealing. It's excitement. Listen.
It is. Well, you know what? I think the underlying excitement about this specific podcast is that we've been like internet best friends who never actually spoke.
Yeah. Wife. No, you're my wife. I have a couple wives, but you're like top tier. So creme de la creme right there.
Thank you.
I'm just so excited about this. And if you're watching this, you can see the tapestry behind her. But if you're just listening to this, Kate is so badass. I need you. Probably right now, unless you're listening on your phone, I need you just to go follow her and see what we're dealing with. Okay. Cause she's a baddie. Oh, it's exciting.
Likewise. Right there. Oh,
well, here we go. Hey, welcome to Shockin' Y'all. Also, we were very worried about our unhinged conversation. It could go off the rails. So this is your heads up. Whoever's listening to you, just ride the wave, baby.
Rip the board and ride the wave. It's going to be fine. We'll get to where we need to go.
However
we need to get there. We'll get to where we need to go. However we need to get there.
Yeah. That's what I appreciate about you. One other thing that I do love about Kate is that she'll make a story on Instagram and I'll DM her and I'll be like, make it a reel. Why is this not a sound clip? Like every bloody time. I'm like, make it permanent. It's so good and so, what was the one just recently where your life doesn't have to be hard?
Yeah, that one.
She basically.
Your life doesn't have to feel hard.
Sorry, you're right. Correct.
Thank so there's, you. I think in that, and we just taught about this yesterday. We did a amazing workshop on spiritual hygiene and energetic boundaries and discernment. And your life doesn't have to feel hard. Right. I think this misconception, and often what I see with a lot of the clients that I coach who are like high capacity, high performing entrepreneurs, moms balancing business and like just fucking crushing it at home, is that we feel like we have to have suffering as a precursor to our success, or that pain has to be in the realm of how we experience things in order for us to get to those joyful places. And it's not that you're not going to go through hard shit in your life. It's not that painful things aren't going to happen, but the way that we're able to be with that, move that through our bodies, be present with it, and build resilience around it allows us to create a more joyful experience, right? Like, it doesn't have to feel hard. Like, what does it feel like if it were easy? What does it feel like if it were playful? What does it feel like if it were joyous? And, you know, we could celebrate it. We could celebrate, you know, like, oh, thanks creator for this next fucking initiation. Cause I know that when I get punched in the mouth by spirit, something beautiful's coming. Like, and just like being okay with the fact that there's big highs and there's big lows and there's going to be activations. There's going to be initiations. There's going to be shit you have to like go through that's difficult, but it doesn't have to feel hard. Right.
Oh my God. Right. Punched in the mouth by spirit. That might be the title of this show. I'm not kidding. I really look for the titles, and I think you just gave it to me right there.
It might have just come out right there.
and who knows? We've been at this for 7 minutes, so who knows? Yeah. I want to know what's happened in your life. I want to know when you've been punched in the mouth by spirit and what you did to survive that.
There's many times I feel like that's happened. But when those moments inevitably happen, right, and you're kind of confronted with these very uncomfortable pieces of being human, whether it's understanding like, ooh, hey, that's a not so great pattern that I have. And it's continuing to show up in not great ways in my life. And now I'm sort of at the rock bottom of self-realization that I have to make a change, right? That's one of the ways that you can get punched in the face by spirit. And other ways too, it's like, depending on the path that you're walking and how you show up to the game of life and how you show up to your prayer and how you call in the things that you're wanting in your life, you will be tested. Period. It's like, if I say that, you know, we walk in a nature way and we're about natural healing and we, you know, live with these principles and these belief systems and these values that the body is this innately intelligent, beautifully designed, perfect creation that knows how to heal itself. Yeah. Well, guess what? There's going to be times where that shows up in life and you have to put your money where your mouth is. I'll give you an example. Perfect example. I haven't shared this story.
Oh my God. It's y'all fresh off the press.
Fresh off the press. This super actually secret. Happened. So by profession, both me and my husband, Dr. Brett, were chiropractors, right? And so, you know, our principled chiropractors, we believe in the body's innate ability to heal itself. And we've seen miracles happen time again, over and over and over and over and over again, right? We truly are miraculous as humans. And in that way of living, it's again, in alignment with the laws of nature. If you're not in alignment with the laws of nature will break you. And this particular story is actually dealing with my face as well. It was last December. So December, 2022, going into 2023, it was like holiday seasons, you know, kind of that, like you're running, you're going. We had like holiday parties, baby shower, this, that, organized Christmas, all the things, do the mom stuff, all of it. Right. And I wasn't feeling well. I had gotten sick and I just like, couldn't kick it. And I just was kind of like not really tending to the needs of my body, which I feel is also a huge, huge important lesson for us as humans, especially as women.
Yeah.
Listen to, when do you need rest? When do you need recuperation? When do you need to slow down? When do you need to call in help? When do you need to call in delegation or resourcefulness? Because we're not meant to do it all the time.
Right.
And I was just running and gunning and making it happen. And I got really, really, really sick. And one day I woke up and I was like, I had this like swelling above my eyebrow. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, why is my like forehead like kind of swelling? This is very strange. And I had all different kinds of symptoms and shit. And I was just, you know, like, whatever, it'll pass. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then I went and I facilitated a breathwork workshop later that night. And then the next morning I woke up and like my whole forehead had gotten swollen. And then my eyes started to swell. And then my nose started to swell. And then basically it progressed for a week. I couldn't touch my hair. I couldn't touch the skin on my face. I was sensitive to everything. I was sitting here, and again, I'm a doctor, so is my husband. So we're running through like, what could this be? Like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? What are all these different things? And there's a whole other layer of spirit initiation that would take an hour to explain. That's a podcast in and of itself of why some of this was coming in. And my face swelled to the point where I looked like an owl and I was unrecognizable. And I was being initiated. And I was also having to deal with the fact that I hadn't necessarily put into practice all the things that I knew to do to heal what needed to be healed. And so I was getting this like 1-2 punch with like the physical and the spiritual coming in at the same time. And I was like, for a moment, based off of my presentation, we thought like, maybe I have meningitis.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is going on? And I'm like, I don't want to die.
Like, it's what? Not a good time.
Not a good time. And so I leaned in, and Brett, I remember it was just this, like, he was like, listen, are you going to heal this now? What are you going to do? Are you going to heal this? Or are you going to like fold essentially? And if you follow Brett and you know Brett, it's like,
are you going to fold?
He's not fucking around. I mean, this man, he tore his Achilles in August of 2022 and didn't get surgery. It was a 4 millimeter separation, full Achilles tear, healed it naturally in 3 months, and then rode a 50K bike ride in November.
I just need to pause, sidebar. People should know this about me. My biggest fear in life is an Achilles
tear. So girl, same.
I watched it happen to a ballet dancer on stage when I was backstage, and I watched her whole calf roll up inside of her knee, and I cannot get that image out of my head. Like, it was like a snap.
Yep.
And from that day forward, I was like, God forbid. I did not know this story. That's a sidebar story. I can't even get over your face, but then now we got this. I can't.
Yeah. And so again, depending on the walk that you're walking in your life, and the things that you're involved in, the initiations that you're a part of, the strength of your prayer, the places that you're showing up, like, you're going to be tested.
Yeah.
And we all do to some extent in some different way, but it's like, okay, that whole year he created this program all around healing codes and principles of natural healing and all these other things. And spirit was like, all right, motherfuckers.
Time to dance.
He ruptured the Achilles the beginning of August, and we were set to do a retreat on that. We did a seminar in April, all based off of healing codes, like 300 people in-person event about natural healing, healing, connection, like all these things. August, Achilles tendon tear. November, teaching a retreat for people on healing codes and developing the program around it into like new offering that we have, which is this group coaching called the Healing Way, which is, again, diving into all these elements. That happens to him in August. He heals it November. Boom. I get slapped in November and like almost taken out in December. So it's really casual over here at the Jones House.
Soup cash.
And in that, though, I think it brings us back to, what are your principles, your values, and your belief systems? And can you actually stand on the foundations of the things that you're standing up for in the world? Right?
Mm.
Are you living authentically and in alignment with the things that you truly believe at your core?
Yeah. There's nothing more, what is the word, spicy than having to face that.
Yeah.
And to make the decision to upset people or turn over the apple cart or say the thing you didn't think you were going to have to say or comment to whatever, or just stand your ground in such a way that you are tested and tried and the principles and beliefs and the values are on display for everyone.
Yeah.
Because unless you've done that work, right? Unless you're comfortable speaking to it, that's a whole new world.
And I truly believe too, in those spaces, like, there is no right or wrong.
No.
It's just choice and perception, right? So it's like, this is the way that we're choosing to live our lives. This is the way that we're choosing to care for our health. This is the way that we're choosing to navigate our prayer and our connection to Creator. And it's fine if you choose something different, but I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. Or I'm not going to try to convince you to try and do things in my way. This is just a way.
I have to say,
like it, then
no, exactly. But when you see that, when you see somebody embodying exactly what you just said, where they're speaking their truth and they're not forcing it on you, they're like, this is how I see it. You go live your life. To me, I'm just like best friends. We're best friends. Because that's who I want to be surrounded by. I want to be surrounded by people that can see who I am, that aren't going to try and water down my beliefs for themselves or their comfort level or what have you. I don't understand why people would want to be surrounded by anything else. I don't know.
Well, I think the human experience is overwhelming at times.
For
right?
Sure.
And often what people need in order to navigate all that comes into that experience is they need a set of parameters and they need... Yeah. And that's why you see people go along with what somebody tells them to do.
Yeah.
Because it's harder to be a free thinker. It's
the tribe. You don't want to be rejected by the tribe.
Oh, but I think one of the biggest activations of being a human is why do we come here is to figure out like who we are, like who is Kate?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who's Nicole? Who are all these people that, you know, I'm not trying to be anybody except for myself.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. And I'm really unbothered by whether somebody fucking wants to ride with that or not. Like, that's cool.
That's why I love you. It's really like my favorite flavor of you is how you're unbothered by it. I think that's why I was she's my wife.
And I think that that's something that has been built over time, right? Like that's something.
Sure.
And I know we wanted to get into like capacity and boundaries and all these other things, because I love that as well. And I think this is a good segue into that, because what I've noticed is when people have not the greatest boundaries, typically there's some underlying layer of like perfectionism or people pleasing that has shown up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or there's this deep need for feeling seen or accepted. And so we just say yes to things and we kind of put our needs to the side and we appease other people because we don't want to go against the grain or we don't want to be seen in a certain way. There's a lot of like self-judgment.
Yep.
Sometimes like self-abandonment that comes in with that, but it's also kind of self-centered in certain ways too, because we're not considering the 360 view of our experience. But with that, when it comes to boundaries and capacity, it's like, if you don't have boundaries, you're going to have depleted capacity.
Ooh, I love that.
And boundaries aren't necessarily just the things that you say. There's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and energetic boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to consistently be assessing and auditing how do we engage with all of those different things and do they make sense for where I'm at in my life now? Something that you might have allowed in your 20s would not fucking fly in your 30s.
No way. These are facts.
Yeah. The person that you were and the things that you were interested in are meant to shift and change and evolve as you heal, grow, and evolve throughout your life. So again, we need to recalibrate, right? How do we drive this ship of being a human, and how do we recalibrate to make sure that we're doing that in good way and doing that in alignment with who we are presently?
Yeah.
And so when we have good boundaries and we have good ways of communicating and holding our boundaries, right? I say this all the time too. It's like, you can have a boundary, but if you don't actually hold your boundary, it doesn't mean shit.
Thank you. It's not rocket science, but it needs to be said.
Right. And in those spaces too, right, where we acknowledge that, it's like, if I know that I have good boundaries, I'm minimizing the chaos that's coming into my life. And when I minimize the chaos, that means that I'm inherently less overstimulated. And so I have more capacity to do the things that I want to be doing and do the things that feel in alignment with how I want to be showing up in my life.
Yeah.
So again, me working with like fucking high level, getting after it, entrepreneurs, again, moms balancing like business and life and all these other things, right? Is where are we too leaky in the boundaries where we're not coming into alignment and giving a container for the energy, giving a focus for the energy? Because if we're just all over the place, we're saying yes to everything, we're not delegating anything, and then we're wondering why we're burnt out, we're tired, we're exhausted, we have no space for ourselves, we have no space to connect with our partners, we don't feel connected with our children, all these other things, right? It's like, well, let's look at your boundaries, because your boundaries are going to dictate your capacity. And then the other layer of this too is your nervous system, right? So boundaries, capacity, and nervous system all interrelate to one another and inform one another. So if you're overstimulated because you have no fucking boundaries, your nervous system is probably in sympathetic overdrive, which means you're stressed as fuck. And if you're in sympathetic overdrive and you're stressed as fuck, then chances are your capacity to do anything outside of survive is pretty low.
All I got to do today is survive. I just can't figure out why I can't get anything done because I'm doing is surviving.
But that's how most people live, right?
We
forget this, right? We forget that as humans, we're sensory beings, right? We're always intaking information. We're meant to integrate it. And this is a big principle within chiropractic and the way that we, you know, apply and engage with people in a chiropractic sense is that the body is intelligent. The nervous system is how you perceive the world, right? If your body is consistently being bombarded with sensory information all the time, which it is, look at all the things that we have access to and all the things that we can just consistently be thrown into our field, right? Boom, 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 boom. And if the body doesn't have an opportunity to actually integrate experiences, it'll hold on to it. It'll say, I don't have time for this. Let me store that. I'll come back to it later. And if that distortional pattern is there for too long, it's going to create dis-ease in the body, which will turn into disease, dysfunction, and symptoms.
For sure. For sure. Like, I think you know that I lost my partner like 4.5 months ago. And my ability to grieve, I was very concerned, not very concerned, but I was caught off guard by the way people were interpreting my grief through DMs and messages and stuff and texts and stuff like, oh, I just see that you just launched a podcast. Are you okay? Just checking on you. I'm like, oh, does it not look like I'm grieving? Because my process is I cry a little every day. I don't do that. I haven't done that in 20, 30 years. Like, that's just not my personality. It hasn't been who I've been. But now with this new information and the fact that my body is so attuned to sadness, it moves through me now. It moves through me. It doesn't sit inside me in a black box eating away at my liver, hopefully. Yeah. It's moving through me. Like the peace in that, and I wouldn't have known it had I not experienced it, but it is powerful. It's a lot of sensory overload, that in and of itself, just the process of moving through that. And then the expectation of people.
Yeah.
Is messy. Well,
it is. And that's our humanness too. Like there's no one right way to grieve.
Mm-mm. No way.
There's no one right way to feel your emotions or feel your feelings. Now, are there things that you can do that can be a little bit more appropriate and safe? It's like, if you're angry, don't go punching walls and shit, right? Maybe not the best option of that.
No.
And the more that you're able to sort of be in that torical field of like the emotion comes in, you feel it, you move it, you let it go. It comes in, you feel it, you move it, let it go, right? It's like we, and in somatic practices and in somatic mapping and just awareness, and that's something I work a lot with clients too, is what are you feeling, right? What are your feelings and your emotions? And then also what's the need that's behind that? But when we identify what the feeling and the emotion is, we have to understand where does that live in the body?
Yeah, that was my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and go ahead. Sorry.
No. Where do we feel it in the body? And if we can feel it in a certain place in the body, it's like, what does it need, right?
Yeah.
Like, is my sadness getting stuck in my throat and it feels like it's collapsing and it's coming down? Like, do I need to cry? Like, are these tears new tears? Are these old tears? Are these tears that have just not had presence or safety to be able to express? Like, do I need to cry or do I need to scream or do I need to sing or do I need to hum or do I need to have a conversation with somebody? What is it? How does this energy need to move? Right. And the more that we can learn about ourselves in our own self-study, in our own present awareness, in our own consideration for ourselves, and we can attune to what the body needs and how the body needs to be tended to and cared for, it allows us to move through those harder times where spirit punches you in the face.
Yep.
With a little bit more grace.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move through it with grace, we also have to offer ourselves spaciousness for it.
Yeah.
You know what? It's okay. Like, it's okay for me to feel this. It's okay for me to, you know, feel into these places of myself that have felt dormant or might not have had, you know, acknowledgement for a very, very long time. But you know what? We're here with them now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It makes me think about like my mom's generation. So my mom's 76 and I love her. She's like my best friend. She's also so into everything that I talk about. Everything, she's going to be all over this episode, I can guarantee you. I'm just so impressed that because of how she grew up, which was, they didn't have a lot of money. They were very religious, Catholic. Everything was very tightly knit and quiet, and they didn't have the opportunity or the capacity, even the self-awareness to know that that's something that was allowed. You know what I mean? The space. Yeah. So as she's moving into her 70s, not technically, probably started around her 60s, but she's just blossoming in so many ways. And I love watching it because it's one thing for our generation. We're talking about this. We've been exposed to it for quite some time. I feel that's a blessing, but to watch that older generation be able to feel the things that they've been taught were either inappropriate or not to be discussed or not to be shared. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think that that's a beautiful offering too for humanity, is that healing doesn't have a certain age limit.
No.
And what are we actually trying to do? Right. It's like, if we're feeling these things, or we're having these experiences, or we're allowing things to move through the body in a good way, and we want it to integrate, right? It's like, if that process comes in and it's too overwhelming for the nervous system, that's how we create trauma in the body.
Right.
Right. One of my favorite quotes is from this like beautiful Lakota woman named Ruby Gibson. She does incredible work on like somatics and like ancestral trauma and ancestral architecture and just amazing work. And I got to learn from her. I did this course certification in integrative somatic trauma therapy. And one of the quotes that she said just like stuck with me. And it's, trauma happens when we lose our voice, choice, or power. And healing happens when we reclaim our voice, choice, and power. And there's no expiration date on that.
Wow.
That's why we're having these conversations, you know, your childhood trauma or something that somebody goes through, like when they're a child, doesn't mean that it doesn't get acknowledged for the rest of their life. If they're willing to go into the healing space, they're willing to reclaim their voice, choice, and power and step into that healing way. It can happen when you're in your 30s or your 40s or your 70s, right? Like the body is remembering. The body keeps the score. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Basil. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So if we know that from an energetic standpoint, if we know that from a resonance standpoint, we know that those are, and that's what's so interesting when I facilitate like energetic work too, is being able to sense into the system and say like, where is this coming from? What is the origin story of this? And like, is this old? Is this fresh? What are these layers? Is this from this lifetime? Is this from some other lifetime? Is this ancestral? What are these different dynamics that go into it? And then finding the resonant tone to bring freedom and healing into the system, which is available to everybody. And that's the thing too, is like, I never want anybody to feel like healing isn't possible for them.
Oh, say it again. Healing is available to everyone.
Yes.
It's really important.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a walk and talk back during the COVID times. And I was sharing with this lady, we've never met in person, but we were talking about the state of the world. And she said, when we were all literally locked down and parks were closed and the beach was closed, she said, and I remember I stopped in my path. I can tell you exactly where I was in my neighborhood when she said this statement, but she said, these mandates and this closure of schools and closures of parks and closures of beaches, she's like, it's not very trauma informed. It feels reminiscent of my experience. And I literally gasped.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, what? Just sitting with that for 1 second.
Oh, yeah.
What we went through.
Yeah.
Was not very trauma informed.
No, we're still seeing the after effects of it too.
For sure.
And for us, like, we were deemed essential. Like, we weren't closing our doors. Like,
right.
It wasn't happening. We knew that people needed connection.
They
needed to be able to regulate this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And for us in the practice, people's nervous systems were just so wrecked when they were coming in. And there was so much stress. And we were in the Bay Area. We were in Oakland. Like, shit was gnarly there. People were really, they were doubling down. And I just remember I had a client who came in and she said to me one time, she was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, She's like, this has been really hard. Like, I haven't, you know, she was nervous, right? For all these different reasons, right? And people, again, they can engage with that however they want to engage with that, with whatever their belief systems are and whatever. But she came in and she was having so much anxiety just about being out in the world or being around people. And we were like one of the only places that was like open. So people fucking loved coming into the practice.
They were just like, hi, can I practice my social skills with you?
Our practice like boomed. It grew because people were like, sure, I want to come in and get chiropractic care. I can come in. I can see people. Like, you guys aren't scared to give me a hug. Like, this is great. And I just remember I had one client and she came in and she just expressed to me too. She was like, she was very nervous. And I would try to give her as much like grounding and foundation and principles and just like care and empowerment and just reminders of like that beautiful intelligence that resides within her and her immune system and all these things. And I remember she said to me one time when she came in, she was like, Dr. Kate, I'm just like, I'm really nervous that I'm not going to be able to make it through this. And I was like, in what way? And she was like, no, I'm not scared of like the thing. She was like, I just think for me and my mental health, like, I don't know. I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to make it through. And I was like, holy shit. And I said, you make sure you keep coming to see me.
Yeah.
And she was like, is it okay if I give you a hug? And I was like, absolutely.
I got chills.
She was like, I haven't hugged anybody in 3 months.
Oh.
I said, you can hug me every single time you're here.
I kept thinking about that.
I want you to make sure that you keep coming.
Mm.
And I think when we look at that too, it's like healing isn't an isolated event, even though you're the one who has to do the work.
Thank you.
But it's meant to happen in community.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's a big principle of ours too, like with the source and with the source chiropractic is like, that's why our adjusting areas are, it's all open. Healing happens in community. It happens on like the table and this person next to this person, and they have some connection. Then there's a kid running around. Then there's somebody else doing something. Somebody's like sage in the room, clearing the energy, doing all the things. But it's like, there's laughter and there's play and there's tears and there's emotion and people are able to feel present and alive, and healing happens in community, but you have to be the one who does the work. No one's going to do the work for you.
Right. But kudos to you guys. I mean, I'm not surprised by any stretch of the imagination that your space would be like that. Yeah. I would expect that. But kudos to you guys for standing your ground there, because it's a representation of the way I'm assuming our ancestors lived. Children running wild, tears, laughter, joy, emotion moving through its processes. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. meant to be done behind closed doors. That's my biggest. Mm, yeah. I just love that.
Yeah.
God.
Well, and with each other, we're meant to witness each other,
and sometimes and be seen.
And sometimes that's messy. And so even with our kids, I always tell them too, I'm like, I can see you're feeling some big feelings. What are they? And another like dear friend of mine, Dr. Danielle Cornelius, amazing woman. She is like in the pelvic floor world. Oh. And you should have her on here.
I'm on. Okay, great. Got it.
She's incredible. She would always say too, she was like, I always tell people tears are welcome here. Tears are welcome here. I'm not scared of you crying. I'm not. And I think that as a healing facilitator too, when you show up to that space, it's like, I'm ready. And I've prepared for you. I've trained for you. I've trained for you to be able to be in your vulnerability and in your realness and in your humanness. And I'm not here to judge you. Right. And we need more of that in the way that we engage in our systems of actual healing.
Yeah.
Right. Not in our like prescriptive, put people in a fucking box and tell them that they're broken, that there's no hope for them. That's not how we move forward as a culture. That's not how we move forward as a humanity at large.
Right.
Compassionately care for self as well as compassionately care for one another. And to be able to be like, hey, I see that's some tough shit. You're going through it. Or like, that is some deep trauma. And well, I might not have that same lived experience. I can witness you.
Yeah.
And I can help love you through it. And I don't have to have the same story as you. I don't have to share the same grief as you, but right. I can know what grief is, and I can hold space for your grief, and I can hold space for your pain, and I can hold space for your healing, because I know it's possible for you.
Yes. And sometimes it's just that statement. It's just the reflection of I can hold space for you. I can be here with you.
Yeah.
God. And then you think about medicine, right? You think about healthcare. Like you go into the doctor and they're like, well, you're broken. I'll never forget. I've told the story 100 million times, but when I actually I herniated 4 discs and then ruptured them like a week later. It was a great time.
Yeah.
I went into the orthopedic. He's like, wow. He's like, you have the spine of a 55-year-old arthritic man, and this is probably going to happen again. I was 24. And I was like, cool. So thank you for that. I'll never forget it. It was just like so cold, so dry. And then it was this statement that I had to unpack for the next, 20 years.
Well, and what does that do to somebody's consciousness?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
what seed are you planting into their perception of what's possible to them?
Right. Right.
If you tell somebody they're broken, if you tell them that there's no hope for them, if you tell them that it's not possible, what do you think they're going to believe? You have to have a strong foundation and a strong value and like principles that you live by to know that you're infinitely possible.
Yeah.
And that there is infinite potential.
Yeah.
Because everything around you is trying to tell you that you're not, right? But it's like, that's why our words are so important too. The way that we show up in these spaces is like, I'm not here to minimize you and tell you that you're not capable. And that's one of the things that pisses me off the most about Western medical model, the allopathic model, is they're trying to put people in a box, put a label on them, and then limit their potential of what is possible in their lives. I think it's fucking ridiculous.
It's embarrassment. I think it's like the seed of the problem for society, really. Because when you're injured, you're most vulnerable, right? When you're sick, you're most vulnerable. You're like, I need answers. You're the person in the white coat. I mean, don't get me into all the white coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just am so glad that you are doing the work you're doing, Brett, too.
I think it goes beyond too, just like our healthcare system, but it's like also how we deal in sort of all of our systems too. And just even with the work that I do one-on-one with clients as well, because inherently the way that I coach is very holistic, right? Like I'm not in a doctor-patient relationship with my clients when I'm coaching them, but the way that I view the world is from a holistic and vitalistic viewpoint. So for me, I'm like, if there's shit going on in your business, I want to know what's happening with your relationship. If there's poor communication and poor boundaries and you're not on the same page as your partner, like no wonder your kid's being an asshole. And that's stressing you out. That's cascading into all of these other areas of your life. And not to say, and there's no judgment in those things, but it's like, we have to look at the entirety of the system. And then we also have to say I'm not like I don't have like kid gloves on. I'm always like, I'm firm and I'm loving.
I know. I said it in your intro, hard hitting
shit. And I will hold space for your tears. And I will also say like, hey, where are we at with this?
Right.
And when we look at that too, it's like, if people are in these ruminating stories of, disbelief of their own actual potential, or they're in this like trauma loop and this trauma story, and they just keep talking about it over and over and over again. I'm not enough. Self-limiting belief over and over and over again. Pattern. No boundary. Burnt out, feeling fucked up, all these other things. And somebody goes, yeah, you are all those things. What do you think they're going to continue to do? The same shit.
Yeah.
So we have to interrupt the patterns and allow them to come back to the space of hope, potential, and faith that they're made for more and they're capable of more. Because then what do you think the body reorganizes to do? The mind reorganizes to do? The energy, the spirit, what do you think it reorganizes to do? To the higher potential.
Yeah.
So we have to attune people. And that's why it's so important that whatever medicine it is that you carry, and by medicine, I don't mean like fucking drugs. I mean, wisdom, knowledge, potency that you carry. How do you share that? And how do you share that in a good way? And how can you help attune people to bring them back to themselves? I'm not giving you anything. I'm reminding you that you already fucking have it.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting out of the way.
Ah, this is why you're my wife. That's just so satisfying. That's literally what I'm doing.
What does society look like when we do that?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Just sit with it a second. I mean, I just completely lost my train of thought because that was such a beautiful motivational speech. I had something to say way back like 10 minutes ago before your.
Oh, Jesus. No, it's
no,
all
it was
good.
Really good.
We're
it was
squirrely
good
and we're in all the things.
It's fine. Ah.
Yeah.
I want to know too, like I was stalking you before this call, but figured I'd go in deep right before we took off. And I saw you working with a man, a gentleman, and you had your hands on his belly and he was crying and it was in that open space. And it was, and I'm forgetting right now what you said in this caption or the reel, but I was like, oh my God, that is something I really want to touch on for men.
Yeah.
I know my audience is primarily, I think, female, but I think it's so important for men to have some safe space to, I like to say, put their weapons down. I don't know if that's the right analogy, but I don't know. It just looked like you were doing that for men. And I got so excited.
For them to feel seen. And I think that the masculine needs a safe feminine and the feminine needs a safe masculine. And the masculine needs a brave feminine and the feminine needs a brave masculine, where we're not asking for anything, but we're just showing up to witness. Oh, right. So in that, when I was working with that man, there was a lot of like really deep sadness that was needing to come out and tears that just hadn't been expressed and they needed to come out.
Yeah.
And it's really funny that you say that too, because whenever we go and we teach for like Kairos training culture, whether it's chiropractic seminars, that was at like, we did a super camp. There was like 120 people in attendance. It was in this like massive warehouse in Atlanta. And we just like went off and we had all of our lead facilitators there. And it's so good. And we'll do like artistry demos where we're adjusting and we're, you know, kind of demoing some of like the energy work that we do as well. And so in those spaces, I think what's important is that, you know, we show up to that space ready for whatever is meant to happen in that place, right? And we can show up with facilitation skills to be able to hold space for people in their healing. And it's funny because anytime I show up in those places and it's like, okay, open tables and like, we're all the leads and we'll stand at like the head of a table. And then whoever's called can like come and like lay down a table. It's like, whoever you feel called to receive from, like, go ahead and like be with that person. And it's hysterical because it's like always these like big fucking dudes. Like it's always the, and I'm like, I have some man who is like 6 feet tall and 200 pounds who's sobbing and I'm like holding him in the fetal position.
I love it though. I love it so much.
And to me, I know that that's a role that I'm meant to play in this space, not to like show up as the mommy, you know, but to show up as the nurturing feminine where it's like, listen, you're safe here. I want nothing from you, but I want you to be able to know that it's okay for you to feel vulnerable here.
Yeah.
I'm not here to take anything from you. I'm not here to judge you in any way. I'm not here to project any shit onto you.
Yeah.
But here's a space for you where you can be held by the feminine in a good way and in a good energetic way that feels safe and brave for your nervous system to process whatever it needs to process. I think it's great that people will have like their men's circles and they'll have their women, whatever. I am like a ride or die for like an integrated space because I'm like,
that.
We can't be vulnerable with one another. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Years ago, I did another seminar that I was facilitating and it was open. I was like, whoever wants to come, like whatever, you know, it's not. And again, most of the time I work with a lot of women, but you know, men will come in as well, you know, either as coaching clients or, you know, again, like our camps are definitely very like 50-50 and mixed.
Yeah.
But I was doing a seminar again, I think it was in Atlanta. It was like all women. And then like one guy signed up, but we had this really powerful experience where it was like, we put him in the center and we like, there was a whole lot of other things that came down to it. And like a lot of processing that was happening and him like kind of experiencing things like with woundedness from the feminine, but then being able to like, we gathered around him and like created this safe nest for him. And just the tears that he cried and the space that was held for him was so beautiful. And he was like, thank you for that. I've never felt that. And I think it's also important too for like women. It's like, I always honor and acknowledge and am so appreciative of all of the like sacred and safe men in my life.
Yeah.
Want nothing from me. but they see me as like a sister, and they see me as a mother, and they see me as a human. They see me as a woman. They see me in my power, and they can also hold space for me in my vulnerability.
Gorgeous. And I think
it's like, we have to learn how to navigate both of those spaces with one another.
Yeah.
Right.
When I was in Africa, we were in South Africa in August, and I can't remember if this was about, we were looking at hippopotamuses, and I don't know if we were talking about hippos or if we were talking about elephants, but how they instinct, I think it was an elephant, how they instinctually gather around one another, and they will stay there. If one elephant is sick, they will stay in that gathered space, no matter what it is. If it's birth, if it's sickness, if it's death, they will stay with that suffering, quote unquote, suffering animal for days, for like 3 days, to process, to be there. It's a support system. I mean, we're just fancy elephants. You know what I mean? We're fancy elephants with nails and highlights. Like, if you really think about it, I just was so moved by that. I think it was elephants. We're looking at hippos, talking about elephants. Well, confusing. My memory's not great.
And with that, what happens there is you're creating an intentional field.
Yeah.
You're creating an intentional field, and you're creating a container that has a focus, that has a central prayer, that has a directive of what are we all coming to get. That's why you see collective prayer, like, have amazing healing spaces. You know, it's like, also my husband Brett is a sun dancer, which is one of the seven sacred ceremonies of the Lakota. And so we're blessed to be able to show up in that space and to show up in a good way and to be a part of that ceremony. And it's 4 days, no food, no water. And there's helpers, and there's all of these different elements that go into the ceremony. And that's why, like, the saying, stay in your prayer.
Yeah.
A lot, because that comes from Sundance. But there's a central tree. And it's like, that tree is, you know, we all gather around it in different ways. And it's like, that is your focus and your central prayer. And it's like, what is it that when we have, and this is, I mean, if you want to see some quantum shit happen in your life and some momentum happen very quickly, it's like, how do you create a container that builds a field of intentionality and focus around a specific prayer? That's how you can magnetize things coming to you in a good way, and also amplify the sort of like reactions and the ripple effect that goes out into the world. It's like, I think where we struggle so much as a society and as like humanity is everybody's so fucking distracted.
You think?
And overstimulated. They're distracted and overstimulated, and nobody has any focus. So it's like, what does it call? What does it look like when we circle around like elephants and focus?
It just would be so much. I'm ready for it. I feel a shift happening, and I know that's hard to say being in Los Angeles, but I do. The people that I'm surrounded
by, for 7 years, so
you understand.
I got it.
But the people I'm surrounded with speak this language. Mm-hmm. And I love the way you reference having that central prayer, because I've never put those words to it, but that's what it feels like for me. And I'm consistently dialing in on that. And I think the people around me, thank God, thank heavens, however they've attracted themselves to me, or and vice versa, I see them living that too. And it is a gift. It's beyond words. It's just the best. It's the best.
And if prayer is a weird word for you, intention.
Sure. Focus,
whatever it is. Because I know, like, I interchangeably use like God, creator, universe, spirit.
Me too. I know, me too.
Things. And I'm like, I don't care what you call it. Call it whatever you want. Pray however you want to pray. Live your life. Have a conversation and like get dialed in and get clear. Another piece of this too is like staying in your prayer, not just staying in like, I have, you know, but it's like, what is your prayer? What is your specific way that you're meant to be focusing and showing up?
Yeah.
And how can you continue to bring elements of ceremony and intentionality and love and care and like tending to that prayer, tending to that fire, tending to, you know, that element of how you want to show up in the world.
Yeah.
And staying focused in it.
That brings me to dancing, because since we're both dancers, and I briefly tapped into this before I hit record, but for a long time I danced. It was who I was. It was my identity. I had that horrible back injury. Things shifted. I was like, I can't dance anymore, so I'm not going to do it. Cause I can't do it the way I was meant to do it. And then some part with that voice too, that's how I'd explain
totally,
it.
To that's exactly how I heard it.
Oh, God. However, One of my girlfriends, one of my dearest friends who's in my elephant parade, which is not, this is not a joke. I have a text group. It's called an elephant parade. It's four women. And she has prophetic dreams. And she's like, you don't understand. I see you on stage in front of thousands of people dancing and you're doing this kind of dance. It's ritualistic, but it's still so powerful. And people are having these experiences. And I'm like, well, I'm not diving into the dance world. She's like, I don't care what your interpretation is of that. I'm just saying, when the minute you started speaking, I was like, dance is so much of my prayer. Like, no matter how far I run away from it, it's like,
it always comes back in some way. You know what I
mean? But
My whole upbringing, dance, dance, all these things, goes to chiropractic school, whole different like element and layer of life, but also still informed by everything that I know as a dancer, husband, son dancer.
Talk about on the nose there, well, sis, like
dance,
way to go.
Dance is there like everywhere in all different kinds of ways, whether it's like, I'm not standing at a bar anymore, but
I will tell you one more creepy story. Somewhere along her feed on Instagram, there's her dancing. And I think you're wearing blue. I don't remember. But I was like, yeah, I got such a visceral feeling when I saw you dance. And I was like, this bitch is living her life and she is not scared. And she's so in her body and it's so beautiful. And it made me want to dance. And that says a lot. If I get moved by a song or by a person to dance, that's when I'm like, this, there's some fire there. There's some note, there's something.
I think that's a hard thing too for dancers, because again, like the career projection of being a dancer, right, has so many different outlets and so many different places that you can take it. But it's like, if you don't see yourself in those things, for me, I was like, I don't want to own a studio.
Yeah.
I don't want to choreograph.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, I fucking love performing. And eventually it's like, you can perform for forever. I know these things too, but it's also like life is going to take you into different places and into different spaces. But it's like, you know, when you're a dancer and that part of your identity, it never dies. It's always there. It always is an opportunity for you to revisit it. And Brett will even say to me, it's like, if I'm like a little sassier, I feel like my energy feels weird or whatever. And he was like, when was the last time you moved? Like danced. He was
like, how dare you?
Yeah, I'm like,
you don't know me.
Right.
Sun dancer.
Hate that you know me. and it's Brett Jones. So of course you're going to get called out on your shit. But in that space, it's like, okay, like, set, you know, there's this song that moves me. So how do I move it through my body? Right. Yeah. And again, that's a living prayer.
Yeah.
Right. What do you want to process? How do you want to do it? How do you want to like turn it into something? Do you not want to turn it into something? Do you want to take a class? Take a class. If you don't, that's all good. Like if you want to dance around your living room, amazing. If you want to like hit a festival and like get down to some bass, awesome. Like, what do you want to do? It doesn't matter. Just keep moving your body.
Yeah. I can't believe we've gotten so far away from it that it has to be said like that, you know?
Because I remember it was like time in my life where it was like everything in my life revolved around class and rehearsal schedules and performances.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And it's just different. I'm in a different season of my life. I'm tending to multiple businesses, a family, a home, my own career, my clients, like getting my own needs met, you know?
Yeah.
All of these different hats that we wear. And so it's like my central prayer is not dance right now. It's changed. But that doesn't mean that's, this is another piece that I do want to hit on before. Like, I know, whatever, we can go over. I don't give a shit as long as you don't care. We're doing what we want to do. Okay.
We're in charge. Your ear holes. If you're still here,
you're going to zoom with us until we leave.
Everything's fine.
This is something that I always drive home to people too. Is like, you don't have to subscribe to one version of yourself. You get to weave the tapestry or the quilt of all the beautiful little pieces of who you are to be who you are. That's what you're meant to do. That's how you, it informs how you show up in the world, right? When I step to a table to facilitate something for someone in the chiropractic or the energy realm, right? I see things based off of all of the experiences that I've had. I've been initiated in certain ways so that I can see in the ways that I'm meant to see. My medicine that I carry, the energy that I carry, the like who I am, you're meant for certain people.
Yeah.
So if somebody is there for you, they're for you. And so when we show up, like, I'm also not somebody, like, I don't have a perfectly branded fucking Instagram feed. Not, it's chaos. I mean, but it's Kate. It's chaos.
It's chaos.
Chaos. And there's central themes that I speak about. There's certain things that, you know, if you come to my page, you're going to get information on. Yeah. But I'm here. I'm like, you know what? Today, I am dressed like this and I feel really like bohemian and cozy. Tomorrow I might be in like full on streetwear. You know, the next day, I don't know. I don't know. But it's like, why do we feel like we have to subscribe to one slice or one sliver of a brand of who we are when you get to be, you can be the mother, you can be the entrepreneur, you can be the wife, you can be the partner, you can be the dancer, you can be the artist, you can be, you know, the what, whatever it is, you get to be it all.
Yeah.
You get to be it all.
It's the point, I think.
And the important part of it is that you integrate all of it.
Yeah.
That you don't run away from it, that you're not scared of these places of yourself, that you're not scared of the shit that you've been through, but that you let it inform who you are and you get to be all of it. And that's okay. You don't need to shapeshift and like change who you are depending on the situation where you're at, because that's a whole other thing.
Unless you are a shapeshifter. If you're any shapeshifters listening to this, then you do you. Okay. We're not judging.
Another totally different rabbit hole we could go down. But in that space, it's like, you're not asking to be like, oh, I show up like this person in this place, and then you go somewhere else and you're completely different. It's like, no, you're an integrated version of all of the kaleidoscopic elements of who you are, and you get to be all of it. So if you were a dancer and that was your central prayer for 20 years of your fucking life, it doesn't mean that it leaves you. You still get to be a dancer. For it sure. Might just look a little different.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
We just
be all of it.
I was told these things too. Like, I was very, very fortunate. My upbringing was lovely and my parents are still my favorite people and they supported me and believed in me. And they were like, you're also a great artist. You're also a great swimmer. I'm like, I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
I'm a dancer. And they'd be like, okay, but you're also pretty funny and you're also pretty good at it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You're also a good writer. I'm like, okay, enough. I'm a dancer. So it was like, at what point was I going to set my weapons down and be like, you know what? I can integrate all these different pieces. It had to take that big level of suffering, the big punch in the mouth from spirit for me to be like, okay, guess what? If I didn't have all these other beautiful little micro qualities that are also quite nice, then I maybe wouldn't have been the best dancer. All those things led in, they bleed into one another. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. We're not meant to try and escape who we are.
Yeah.
We're meant to continuously uncover more of it.
How rad is that?
So cool.
So cool. Okay, look, I didn't tell you this either. At the end, I have a rapid fire situation.
I love rapid fires. Hold on. Let me fix my clock.
Fix your hair.
This isn't my favorite one. In case you've seen me on the video and I'm adjusting it a million times, I don't like this one.
Okay. Well, I think it's pretty sweet.
It was
sweet.
A mistake. I, you know, the ones that just they don't really grip it. You know?
Oh, no. I know all about it.
Like, this is not an activity claw.
She's talking about her hair.
I am.
It's amazing. Okay. Her hair should have its own Instagram feed.
My claw clip tangent. It's fine.
Okay. Here's the deal.
I will also say this. Hold on. Before you go to rapid fire.
Yeah.
I will say this, that I think we've done a really good job at not going so unhinged.
We're basically hinged right now. When I look at us, I say, hinged.
Like, hit it. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Rapid fire.
Okay. Rapid fire. I'm going to give you five words. You can give me a definition. You can give me a story. You can give me one word answers. I don't give a shit. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Happy.
Oh.
Or a sigh. You could sigh.
I'm definitely like a vocal processor.
I like that.
Happy. I get to give a story or I get to give
Sure. Whatever comes to mind when I say that.
My kids.
Oh, the puppies. They are so beautiful. I'm sure they're very fabulous children. Okay. Healthy.
Healthy. Nature.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Wealthy.
I think this one is an energy. I don't think wealthy has anything to do with a certain monetary amount. I think it has everything to do with an energetic quality that you possess.
I love that.
And
answer.
I think that wealthy is an individual experience, just as much as I think that success is an individual experience. People have different definitions and engagements with it.
Will you marry me?
I love you so much.
Brett's like, this bitch needs to sit down. I'm gonna take your wife. Okay. Also not gay, so it's kind of weird. Anyway, here we go. Next one. Just here it is. Wise.
Wise. Mm-hmm. When I think of wise, I obviously think of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And when I think of wisdom, it's embodied knowledge. There's a lot of people who walk around knowing a bunch of shit, but they haven't actually embodied it. And so I feel that true wisdom comes from when you've embodied the lessons that you have been presented with and when you've embodied the knowledge. Because anybody can memorize something, but there's a different energetic frequency that comes from when you actually hold that knowledge in a good way and in an embodied way. And to me, I feel like that's true wisdom.
Less. Also, Kate for president. Okay, last one. Free.
Free. Ooh. For me, I think free is just being able to acknowledge your limitlessness.
Mm.
So in freedom, it's acknowledging too that when I say the word free, I immediately feel a feeling in my nervous system. So also whenever you say all these different words, it's like I get very visceral feelings for each of them. And I think that that also is a good practice for you out there, listeners, is identifying how do certain words feel in my body and how do certain emotions feel in my body and where do they live in my body? Because the texture of different experiences and emotions will differ from people. And the more that you understand your own nuanced landscape of how you experience things will help you better understand how to get your needs met in relationship to those. So it's like grief, sadness, depression all feel different. They feel different in the body. They have different textures. They have different energetic frequencies, resonances, and tone. And so I think true freedom is understanding how to regulate and resource yourself in a way where you can be in an ideal, floating, resting, neutral state of awareness and expansiveness.
I'm speechless. That's that one saying a lot. That's it. I don't know how we go on from here. This is the greatest thing that ever happened. She's amazing. Where do we find you if we want to find you and stalk you besides Instagram, which I've mentioned 16 times in this podcast?
Instagram is one of the best ways to find me and stalk me. Please don't actually stalk me.
No, don't be weird, people.
I have better boundaries than that. So
yeah, I bet you do.
Not going to work anyway. Instagram, I actually reply to my DMs. So like if you DM me there too. I think we linked like my website on here as well.
Yes,
if you're interested in working with me one-on-one, I do have space in my books and I'm taking on clients. So I have that as like a rolling sort of way of onboarding people. And right now I'm like getting into that space. So if you are looking for more one-on-one guidance, if you are looking for somebody to hold your feet to the fire, but also let you cry your tears in a beauty way and to help you give some structure and organization to your life, I'm your girl. So you can always do like a consult with me. That link is in my Instagram. We've got some cool offerings coming up too. I coach in our coaching group that meets weekly called The Healing Way. There's a lot of beautiful programs and offerings in there. Brett's the primary lead on that, but I'll hop in as well. We bring awesome guests in. We do little masterclasses, whole bunch of cool stuff there. And then I'm also building out, this one's pretty cool. I'm building out our Kairos Energy Healing Facilitator Certification Program. Mm. And that's going to be a 3 to 4 day in-person event where that work had typically only been for chiropractors and in the chiropractic realm, but we're opening that space up to different healing facilitators, massage therapists, acupuncturists, coaches, whatever, right? We'll have obviously an application process for that, but it'll be a 3 to 4 day long event where if you've watched any of like the energy work that I do on my Instagram, there's some on there, but we'll be teaching more in that way too. We'll dive deep into energetics and spiritual hygiene and all the good yummy stuff. So there's a few different ways.
Just a few different ways.
We're doing a few things over here.
She's a little pissy. Just a little pissy. Okay. Well, this has been a delight. Just truly, yeah. You're the best. And I value your time and I appreciate what you bring to this planet.
Likewise.
And even if you don't marry me, I still consider us married. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on here. Thank you for bravely stepping into this space and utilizing your voice and your platform in a way to connect with others. And I want to acknowledge the healing space that this offers for you as well. Mm. And may you continue to move through all of those waves with grace and beauty and, you know, a middle finger to anybody who tries to tell you that it needs to look a certain fucking way because it doesn't. Yeah. But I just respect and honor all the things that you're doing in this world, how you show up as a woman and as a mother and just in your strength and in your beauty and in your grace and just all the love for you, all the blessings for you.
Oh my God.
Bless your life.
I receive it. I receive it. I thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Shockin' Y'all today. This is a passion project like no other, and it wouldn't be possible without your support. Please like, download, follow, share, which sounds like a lot, so maybe just one of those will suffice. Please check out my online programming at sweatandstillness.com. Grab a copy of my best-selling children's book, Yoked, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I hope you gathered plenty of light nuggets and personal downloads from today's episode. I will see you next time. Okay, I love you. Bye.